Men vi driver Tensha terrorister går til attack på landemerker fordi de hater landemerker. Terrorister hater ikke landemerker eller bryr eller fly. De vil bare ødelegge ting og skremme folk, lage terror. Så selvsagt tok de Bay Bridge etter at Golden Gate fikk kameraovervakning, etter at flyplassene ble fylt av metalldetektorer og røntgen. Jeg tenkte litt mer over det. Stirret tomt ut på bilene som ruller forbi, folk som gikk forbi på fortau på byen rundt meg. Terrorister hater ikke fly eller bryr. De elsker terror. Det var så innlysende at jeg ikke kunne tro at jeg aldri hadde tenkt på det før. Det var vel slik at noen dager med å bli behandlet som en terrorist hadde hjulpet på å forklare tankene. Good morning.
Good morning.
Jeg fra Bergen. Not really.
I think you are from Stavanger, actually.
Oh no! Is that okay?
It's just like 5 hour drive southwards.
That's basically the same place, right? I can't Bergen.
That you went for Bergen.
No, I went for West Coast.
It was definitely West Coast. Great. That was interesting.
Was it really awful?
I will abstain from using awful as a adjective for describing how people talk. But no, it wasn't. And what's... You are sort of in the uncanny valley of because
fair.
Some of the sounds you nail them, so my brain switches over to this is a native Norwegian. No, it wasn't, but no, yeah, getting there.
Okay, I'll work on it. I'm gonna have some help, I hope, this week. So watch the space. I've commissioned help.
You commissioned help?
I have.
From who?
I couldn't
from
say.
From whom?
It's a secret. It's secret help.
You have a secret tutor.
I do.
Is it the dialect whisperer?
I couldn't say. Good morning.
Morning. How's the weather?
Bright. It was light when I walked to work. Like not light, but. Almost. You?
Well, it was not as bright as in the image you sent, but at least it was somewhat dry.
Nice. That sounds like progress for you guys.
Well, I think our sort of climate is very binary. So it's either it's raining or it's not yet raining yet.
That smacks of pessimism / reality.
Depends on what you think of the rain.
I quite like rain, but I don't live in it 300 days a year or whatever, so... I have lived in Glasgow, though. Glasgow is pretty wet.
So... I had a holiday.
You did? Tell me about your holiday.
This is like when you return to school, right? You have to write an essay on your holiday experiences. And there the class distinctions already comes to the surface, because someone had an awesome holiday in the far east, or in the Mediterranean with the Mediterranean Sea or something like that. And someone has just been to the cabin.
And is the cabin qualitatively worse? Like, do you look down on people who just went to the cabin? In quotes.
No, but I guess they would sort of look down on themselves in envy or something.
Okay, so there is a kind of, I want what they've got thing going on there. So Copenhagen.
Yeah, I so I took a plane to Copenhagen, or at least I tried to take a plane to Copenhagen, because when the plane took off, a bolting light hit the wing. What's the chance?
You're still here.
I'm still here. So yeah, that happened, and then the captain was like, I think we have to turn and land again to check out the plane. And like 10 minutes went, and no, we can't land in Bergen, so we have to fly to Oslo and land there to check the plane, and you have to switch planes. So what was supposed to be a bit more of an hour air ride was like two and a half hours. So we got there pretty late.
I just need to ask you about this, right? Did people freak out?
The lady next to me did-ish. She was really, really tense and nervous.
But not like screaming or irrational, just kind of a bit.
No screaming.
Good.
No snakes either.
I've had it with... Yeah, what does SAS really stand for? Is one of the S's snakes?
So, yeah. But we landed at Kastrup, finally. Pretty late on Wednesday. And yeah, and we woke up in Copenhagen, Denmark.
Have you been before?
Yeah. Because when I grew up, we didn't went to charter holidays in Norwegian, we call that syden, which means the south. What do you say in the UK?
Just the med.
The meds?
The med, singular.
The med.
Going to the med, I guess.
Just going to the med.
I'm not sure if people say that anymore, but that's the shorthand.
Yeah, so... yeah, when I grew up, we sometimes went on a car trip holiday to, for example, Denmark.
You drive all the way around via Sweden?
We took the ferry from Kristiansand, actually.
Quick word on the ferry experience. What was that like? How long did it take?
Just a couple of hours. Like, then, I guess... 5 or 6. I don't remember exactly, but it's not that far. But yeah, so we drove around in Denmark and we rented a summer house for a couple of days, and there were beaches and mini golf, and I guess there were Danish children. We never talked to them, so...
You didn't talk to the other children?
Not the Danish ones.
Because they were Danish? Because they were other children? I guess if there was more than one of you, like, you didn't have to make friends with anyone, right? You could play with yourselves. This is not that kind of podcast.
I have siblings, so...
you do.
Yeah, but... yeah. I think the last time I went with my family to Denmark, I was 13. So I guess then I just were by myself, mooding or something.
Yeah, angry at the world.
That was the summer I discovered both Radiohead and Deftones. So, yeah.
Wow.
If I listen to Kid A, I actually go back to Denmark somewhat mentally. But that was then. I'm a grown up. I'm traveling to experience culture, the people, of course, the cuisine, the language, and all that Copenhagen has to offer.
So what did it offer you this time?
Lots of walking, lots of food, and mostly that. We also went to the design museum to look at some chairs.
Oh, it's good that. Was it the Wegner chairs that they have, or?
They have all the chairs. There was a room full of chairs and no context, so there's that.
You've got an ass. What context do you need?
But it wasn't for sitting, just for looking.
Yeah. I like the Design Museum. When we went there last, there was a big Hans Wegner retro exhibition. A lot of chairs.
I think this time there were some woodworking, tactile, touch this stuff.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Just don't touch it with your ass.
But I discovered that I can't really go to museums anymore without having a guided trip or something.
Because of the lack of context otherwise?
Yeah, and my lack of knowledge of anything. Because exhibitions is seldom self-explanatory, right? You have all these little signs, but you need someone to sort of narrate what you see. Ish.
Yeah, no. I like to kind of take a thing at face value. Sometimes it's nice to just, like in galleries, right? It's nice to just look at a thing. But at the same time, after a certain point, particularly if it's not contemporary, if it's contemporary, you can go, right, okay, I understand the context of this. Well, hopefully I understand like some context of this. If it's from 50 years ago or 80 years ago, yeah, you're right. There's like no context. We weren't alive. What the hell? So yeah, maybe context is good sometimes. But sometimes that tips over into, yes, and the really what the artist was trying to do here was to, you know, and it just disappears down this kind of death spiral of self-referential guesswork, particularly if the stuff is really old and no one really knows.
Yeah, but we have to differ between art and sort of the historical museum, I guess. Because this was a design...
You draw that line. You're on your own there. I mean,
but this was a design museum. And what's exciting about design is the thought process and the work behind it, right? And now we just saw the end product mostly. There were some prototypes of a chair, but yeah. So I would like to sort of have a peek into the process and perhaps how it was used, even though a chair is pretty obvious, mostly, but yeah.
The ass goes on the top bit.
Especially on the Danish chairs.
Do they still have the enormous ones in the foyer?
Yeah.
Did you sit in them?
No. Oh. Some other people sat in them. Yeah, so that was the Design Museum, it's early. Our main mission was to eat, because Denmark is the land of meats and food and beer.
It is very good at those things.
The land what of did you promise. Eat? That's a good question. So we had booked two sort of gourmet experiences, right?
You can't just have a meal now. It's got to be an experience.
It somewhat was, because the first place called Rela, that was not Danish at all, but that was the name. We sat down. It was sort of low key, not very pretentious, but you sat down on with a wooden table. Everything is wood in Denmark, wood and copper and marble. And the waiter sort of flipped out I'm blanking. What's skuff in English?
I got nothing. What does it do?
So this container that you keep stuff in.
I don't.
I'm blanking out on the
equivalent words. Is there? Is there an English word for that? What does it have in it?
A tray. This is a tray.
What's the difference between that and a brett?
No, a drawer. Right? So there were the little drawer in the table. You didn't see it before the waiter sort of flipped out. And right. The cutlery. Oh, this is not a good start. this is from having been to Denmark.
It's okay.
The knife and forks and spoons... We're in there.
It's okay. You're in a safe place now. I understand that phonetically speaking, you've been in a very, very frightening place this week. But it's okay now. You're home now. Everything's fine.
Yeah. So, and we got fish and the usual stuff. It was very good, balanced. And a wine and hands for... I can't remember really what I ate. But, but yeah.
Cool. What was the other place?
The other place is Spontan, which is really a brewery.
Mm.
So you sort of eat in the brewery space.
But it's really about the beer.
Yeah, I guess so. And yeah.
You sent me a picture of some beer.
I did. I drank some Brett-sit, I guess. Brett-sit?
Yeah, I don't know how we pronounce that either, reading the label.
It was American IPA.
God knows how the Danish.
Yeah, it was American IPA, I guess.
Hmm.
American Indian Pale Ale?
Hmm. India, not Indian.
India. Yeah.
I know. Yeah, we're just... Yeah, it's
ridiculous. Someone should make an Indian pale ale, though.
They should. I bet they do. I bet there's loads of brewing going on in India.
Or by Indians.
And it warmed my heart a little bit to think that someone was profiting on the back of the UK's current misfortune, but was the beer actually nice?
Well, someone has to.
Yeah, well, it's not going to be us.
The beer was very nice, indeed. Daily.
So about this language experience of being a Norwegian in Denmark.
Yeah, so as our dear listeners already, I guess, have heard a couple of times, we have hinted to that Danish is a somewhat difficult language, not in and of itself, but how it's pronounced and spoken, right?
Apparently it's also difficult in itself, but yeah. That's not our primary beef with it, right?
Almost like Norwegian. So if Norwegian, you seem to take Norwegian easily, so...
It's the relationship between what's on the page in Denmark and what you actually say is more involved.
Hmm. Requires more effort, at least.
The shapes I have to bend my face into to make Danish sounds.
So, and I guess this sketch from the TV show we discussed the last time has become somewhat of a meme. I've seen it on Reddit even. So,
Norwegian Reddit or like regular Reddit?
Regular, or as regular Reddit can be, but...
yeah, sure.
yeah, so it permeates the impression that Danish is a difficult language, and it's so difficult that they even can't understand it themselves.
Right. I think this will be at least the third episode now where we've put a link to Camaloso in the show notes, so yeah. Go and watch it if you haven't
Emil
already.
Emil tricked us, yeah. So, yeah. So I went to Denmark with the expectation that that would be hard. Because we have a thing. We want to speak in Norwegian. We want to celebrate the Scandinavian...
interoperability?
Yeah, indeed. We will not... band to the Anglo philic influx of words and things to say. So yeah,
How's that going?
So we spoke to all the Danish people in Norwegian.
Without any attempt to modulate it, just straight up Norwegian.
Yeah, pretty much.
A bit slower so they could understand you, because, you know.
Good for you, this is not a video podcast, yeah. But, yeah, and I didn't keep meticulous statistics on this, but I would guess that 50-50 of the people we spoke to understood us.
Did you get the food that you actually ordered? And the beer that you actually ordered?
We ordered just give us 6 courses. So we didn't actually have to. But
so,
yeah.
So you got 17.
No, halvtress.
Yeah, Danish counting.
My wife, actually, she taught me the Danish counting system. And the way she taught it was really easy. I will not do it now because that's... I can't do it now, but next time I will explain the Danish counting system.
Excellent.
So mostly we got what we ordered, but this is perhaps a rabbit hole or tangent, but I tried to order coffee because in Copenhagen it's... Well, you have the hipsters there as well, and we went to a fancy coffee place.
Mm-hmm.
And I ordered a cup of V60.
How did you ask for it?
In like I said it.
Okay, but in Norwegian. But you said V60, like Anglo.
No, kan jeg få en V60? Something like that.
Did they actually say 60 for 60 there?
Yeah.
Or is it 3 times 20 plus or minus?
No.
4 score minus, yeah.
No.
Okay, sorry.
But I got the puzzled look. Didn't parse at all. So resolved to pointing. The universal language of pointing. So, what I wanted was obviously a filter coffee.
Obviously.
And this made me wonder, because Norway like to pride ourselves to be the coffee nation, where we drink the most coffee per capita, where we have world-class famous coffee shops and so on and so on. But here in Denmark, the fancy coffee V60 is obviously so normal that it has sort of been generalized down to just filtered coffee. Because in Norway, filtered coffee is what you get from the coffee maker, right?
Right.
Puzzling.
What does this mean? Super far ahead of the game. They are very cool in Copenhagen. Very cool.
Well, something points to that. But on the other hand, most of their coffee was not that great. As in very espresso burnt stuff.
Very roasted.
Yeah.
Hmm. You just drink it black, right?
Yeah. Course.
So I guess you're going to notice that. Do they all drink it with milk? Because one of the things I notice as like a semi-snobby coffee drinker, I guess, is that if you're in the habit of drinking black coffee and you go to indie places, a lot of the time they're used to making milk-based drinks. And so if you drink it black, you get this thing that's unbelievably sour because they're so used to, you know, it's kind of, they're serving that coffee to have with milk. If you go to the really good places, of course, like they'll ask you how you're going to have it. And they'll give you a different bean or a different roast or whatever, depending on what your drink's going to be.
Yeah, this is the Starbuckification of coffee, right?
Mm. I actually was a long-time drinker of Starbucks. because I really like dark roast kind of coffee.
I'm sorry to hear.
That's okay. I gave it up.
I'm sorry to hear.
I gave it up.
We had a... So at our office, we usually get coffee from this really good coffee place where we get it fresh roasted and right. And last week we drank it all, so we had to get some coffee ourselves. And our dear colleague Eivind, which is somewhat of a, what do you say,
connoisseur, snob?
No. He likes to do the opposite thing.
Contrarian.
Yeah.
That I called him a curmudgeon the other week as well.
Yeah, all that apply, but... So he went to Starbucks and bought some beans from Starbucks. So everyone was delighted that he did bring coffee, and we made the coffee from Starbucks... which some, this is interesting because coffee beans have different density. So we measure our coffee, so 70 grams on a bit more of a liter, and we have to use way more Starbucks coffee on the same measure than the other coffee we have. So it's less dense than proper coffee.
I wonder if that's because they roast it more. Does it like burn off probably. More of the stuff? Or... So I want to know, did he do this to troll the entire office? Or was he genuinely just being helpful?
We never know.
No.
He's
hard to
enigma.
Read.
Yeah.
He is. Wrapped in a mystery,
So yeah, and the difference between Starbucks coffee and the proper coffee is that the proper coffee, you can drink that cold just fine. It's still good. Cold Starbucks coffee is vile. It's awful.
We have to work on your V sound.
I know. I struggle to differ between Wally and Wally.
It's uncanny.
Where's uncanny well, though? So, yeah.
Make this game. Is this the coffee episode?
No, it wasn't supposed to be.
It went rogue.
So, yeah. So... Continuing on my observations in Denmark, the coffee places were really damp for
damp.
Some reason. Damp, moist, steamy.
Like humid?
Yeah.
Are they growing the coffee in the coffee house?
I suspect so. I don't know. But wow. You couldn't... You couldn't see through the windows, and you got almost wet being in there.
Do you notice that Danish people breathe more than usual? I mean,
more research is needed, I guess. But
I think so. You'll have to go back.
So we walked a lot in Copenhagen, and
it's a very walkable city.
Yeah. Compared to other cities, it's very walkable. And what you see in Copenhagen, in contrast to Oslo or even Bergen, there are like 5 million bicycles there. And they have an infrastructure for bicycles, for cycling.
They do. We have one in Oslo. We have a bike rental scheme in Oslo.
Yeah.
We have a little infrastructure.
You don't have the infrastructure.
No. Like, if you step off the pavement at the wrong time in Copenhagen, you're going to die under, like, 500 bicycles, right?
Or cars. And if you venture to cycle in the so-called bicycle lanes, you will pretty soon hit a parked car or something.
Do people park in the cycle lanes there?
Oh,
I thought that
yeah.
was a British thing.
There are Twitter accounts documenting the cars parking in the bicycle lanes. So
That's sort of comforting. Like, you know, it's very tempting to think when you visit Copenhagen, it's very tempting to think of it as just basically like the future, because everyone is so attractive and everyone's on bicycles and everything works. And it's kind of, I don't mean to be mean, but it's kind of nice that there are still people parking in the cycle lanes. It means like they haven't completely evolved as a whole other species yet. You know, there's still hope for the rest of us.
That being said, Danish people, they drink and they smoke.
More than Norwegians?
Yeah. It was weird coming to Copenhagen. Well, be in mind that there are probably more people in Copenhagen than in Oslo and Bergen.
Or indeed the whole of Norway.
but yeah, I saw a lot of people smoking. And I haven't seen that for ages.
Was there a big change in smoking laws in Norway in the last, say, 20 years?
Yeah.
What happened? And roughly when?
What happened? Well, they had a smoking ban. So you weren't allowed to smoke in places where people work.
You could smoke in the workplace until when?
I think it was 2004.
Wow.
Because it was the year I started university.
Right.
So the year before, I visited my friends at the campus, and then you could smoke inside the student cafe, and it was just covered with smoke. And the year after, there were none. So, yeah.
It's nice when it stops.
Yeah. I fully endorse the smoking ban. Does this make me a fascist?
I'm with you. If that's fascism, like, sign me up. It was so nice. In the UK, we had our own kind of parliamentary act, I guess, that stopped it being legal to go and smoke in kind of pubs and places. Like, I think it also applied to workplaces, but most places had been smoke-free before that anyway. But, of course, people work in pubs and clubs, and so it was their workplace too. So it was really nice when that stopped, and you could think, oh, wow, I can go out for an evening and I don't have to come home and wash all my clothes and my hair and shower and, like, try and get all this smoke off me.
And cancer.
And cancer. That's harder to get off you, turns out.
And
if anyone's listening to this who smokes, please stop. It's bad for you.
Try snus instead.
Oh, let's talk about this.
Are you sure?
Why not?
Are they ready?
No one's ready for snus.
Chris, can you explain what snus is?
Well, I'm not sure. Maybe. So, my previous exposure to the kind of the very idea of this is watching movies where, like, for example, US Marines they have chewing tobacco. And it's Copenhagen brand, which is suitable for this program, I guess. And I think that's slightly different from what people are using here, but I could be wrong. And people here, often instead of smoking, they have this little, I guess, pouch that comes. There's a little container, and you open the lid and you take out a bit and you stick it under your lip somewhere, and that's your tobacco or your nicotine fix for the next, I'm not sure how long. And I kind of knew this was a thing. They do it in Sweden as well. I was not prepared for workplace use. Because that, to me, is like smoking in the workplace, which obviously is just a thing that does not happen.
How does this express itself in the workplace?
Well, people are pretty subtle and casual about it. But, like, you're just sitting around a meeting table, right? You're having a chat with people about whatever project, and, like, there's this little white plastic container sitting on the side. And then at some point, someone will, the owner will reach in there and just kind of casually tuck the tobacco kind of into their mouth, but very casually, very subtle, not like, hey, everybody, look at me, I'm putting a thing in my mouth. But it was just like, huh, okay, people do this in the workplace, okay. And that is not a thing that you see in the UK. I've never seen that in the workplace in the UK. In fact, I've never really seen anyone use this in the UK, period.
So does this bother you? Or do...
Bother is not the right word. I was just mildly stunned.
So where does this stun come from? Is it the fact that people are doing... having their fix, right? Or in a professional environment, or...
Well, I don't think I have any moral high ground, she says, drinking at least her second cup of coffee today. So...
You are from the UK. You always have the moral high ground. For some reason, we don't know.
Oh, we had it. I think we gave it the fuck up a while ago, to be honest. No, it was more just like, I guess, because the analog product slash experience slash behavior is smoking, which is just so not a workplace thing. And so I think to see something that is effectively a smoking substitute happening in the workplace is just really jarring.
But the gum would be okay.
Like a nicotine gum?
I guess a patch would be weird if people just undressed and
what, like replaced themselves. The patch just casually in the middle of the, yeah, don't mind me, yeah, sorry, just administering like minor surgery here. That would be less weird in a way. Gum I hate anyway. I don't
you hate
like
gum?
It.
Do you hate people?
Gumming? I hate everything. Gumming? Gumming is don't use that word on this podcast or indeed ever. I don't get it. The point of chewing gum, it just completely lost on me. Like, it tastes okay for maybe 30 seconds and then it's basically disgusting. And when you talk to someone who is chewing gum, you have to listen to the sounds. And, oh.
You don't have to listen to the sounds.
You do. It's unavoidable. It's not possible to have a conversation with someone who is chewing gum and not be aware of the fact that they're chewing gum. There's probably like entire subreddits dedicated to like people who love this, but yeah, I'm not a fan. And I don't get it. It's like, it's a thing that for me, I would basically need to throw away after 20 or 30 seconds of use. And the texture is unpleasant. And ah. Sorry, everyone who listens to this and chews gum. I'm sure you're, you know, lovely people and everything. It's just repulsive.
And yeah, back to the snooze though. Because my gripe with snooze is what happens to it afterwards.
What does happen to it afterwards? Because I've never really given this a great deal of thought. I assume that one does not swallow it. That would seem unwise.
No, so I guess you are in the privileged position of sharing an office with somewhat civilized people, but in other places, they usually throw the pouches, for example, in the servant, no.
Oh, the bin, the...
No, not the bin, but where you wash your hands.
In the sink?
Yeah, in the sink. That happens, or on the floor, or anywhere.
This makes me wonder where you have worked before.
Well, I've worked in a warehouse, for example.
Yeah.
And university, for example. Well, I guess larger workplaces where people are not... They don't have the same stake in the office space as perhaps we do.
Mm.
But yeah. And the pouches, that is a fairly recent invention. Because before that, you didn't have the pouch. You have to sort of pack the load yourself.
Is it like loose and dry or yeah. Paste or?
It was sort of almost like heavier.
Hmm.
And the first and only time I tried snooze, it was like that. And I was like 15. And I tried to pack this thing. And there's a technique to do it. I guess we can find it on YouTube.
Now I'm imagining that the result of this, when you're 15 years old and trying to do this for the first time, is basically the same as the cinnamon challenge.
Yeah, much worse though. But so you pack the thing and you stick it under your lip.
Oh.
And then the thing dissolved. And then you got tobacco shit in your mouth. And it's the most horrendous thing ever.
That seems like trying this at the age of 15 would be a very effective preventative measure.
Yeah, it's a right age. Well, if you manage to pull it off, you are, well, you're in
you're
the
cool.
shit. Yeah. So
you're in the shit or you are the shit. Big difference.
Both, I guess. But,
I guess.
And the air quotes advantage of doing the pouch free snooze is that you can make really big loads. So if you move outside the hipster design environment that you spend your everyday in, and to the real workplace, you will see. Especially men with sort of big upper lips thing, almost like hamsters, right? And it's that's not, well, perhaps I'm being classist or something, but that's not cool.
I'm grossed out, like, oh.
And I guess this will be my word of the week, because this time I actually planned, well, I can have two. Snusleppe, that's a thing. A lip of snus. Go Google image that.
No. No. Not gonna do that.
Yeah.
I need to ask about an item on the list that you made. To do with Copenhagen. Meat, and naked ladies. Please to explain, sir.
So we have to step back a bit, because there are some talks about creating this pan-Scandinavian country. Right. Then you have to ask, which place should sort of the different countries take in this new nation?
Mm. So, Pandanavia, I think we'll be calling it.
Pandanavia, yeah. So the Swedes, obviously, will be the bureaucrats and the lawmakers and sort of the people to keep it in line.
Obviously.
You have to tell me what the Norwegians should be. I'm somewhat biased here. We should ensure the riches. The oil and the water energy and...
At the same time, I feel that it would be Norway's place in this arrangement to ensure that there was sufficient anarchy, sort of to counter, as a counterpoint to the Swedish bureaucracy and general over-organization of things.
Yeah, and Denmark, they are the secret land of hedonism.
I don't think it's that secret.
And so they will be the place where all the riches and the ordnung that the laws create should be enjoyed.
It's what's the city called in the Hunger Games? Is it that?
I don't remember.
But, you know, the place that kind of everyone's kind of rich and fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that. Should we have the Hunger Games as well? Who would win?
Norway.
You think so?
I do.
Because we are a bit naive and we could easily be tricked into unfavorable allegiances and stuff like that, so... It's not clear-cut to me.
I think raw natural talent at, like, beating the shit out of other people. I think Norway's got it.
But I imagine the Danish people will be pretty endurable. They will just stick it out.
Yeah?
Also, they are closer to Germany, so who knows what tricks they know.
You went there again.
I'm building up.
You can't help yourself. So, meat, and naked ladies. Just to reel this back in a little bit.
So, in Norway, Denmark has always been this country to enjoy life, right? In the early 90s, we had this ad campaign, or Denmark had this ad campaign in Norway called Det er deilig å være norsk I Danmark. It's lovely to be Norwegian in Denmark. Because it's slightly warmer and you can have...
slightly.
You can have the cheap beer, at least in the 90s it was cheap, not anymore. And meat. And if you were into those kind of things, you can also, well, at least look at the ladies. Usually naked.
This is in the summer specifically.
Well, so we walked through Copenhagen and there were ads for what we in Norway... Well, we have one of them in Bergen and it's in the second floor from here. A gentleman's club called After Eight or something like that.
That's a chocolate after, in the UK.
It's in Norway. It's not called After Eight, but After Midnight. Before it was called Dreams. But I have to give it up, I guess.
Really tacky names for these places.
As it should be, right?
I guess.
Tacky names for tacky places. So, yeah.
That's just the floor.
But it was much more...
prevalent?
Yeah, in Copenhagen. But also meat. So they even had places that was just called meat.
Now, are you talking about Meat Shop, which is a tattoo parlor in Copenhagen?
Well, some of them were these butcheries, stuff by meat of different kinds, right? And some of them were more restaurants.
But it's heavy emphasis on meat.
Yeah, they have a meat culture in Denmark, much more than in Norway. We are
so much so that they have this tattoo place called Meat Shop. Yeah, like big. Is Danish bacon a thing here?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is in the UK as well. I mean, I don't know whether that just means that Danes in the 80s and since then are just like really astute at marketing bacon. And I don't know if it's actually any better than any other bacon. Care to comment?
I'm just because, yeah, we have so cheap meat from either Denmark or Sweden is a thing in Norway.
How cheap are we talking? Like, don't ask too many questions kind of cheap? Or
mystery meat. No, like the exchange rate cheap, but also that the prices tend to be lower.
Is that still the case now? Because when I was a kid... Norway was, if anything, more expensive from the British point of view than Denmark, and now it's Denmark that's expensive.
Mm.
Is it still the case that...
The coin has flipped.
Indeed. Is Denmark still cheaper to buy meat from than Norway? Because Norwegian meat to a British person is not expensive. It's quite competitively priced. We should do the supermarket episode.
Yeah. But I think food is still somewhat cheaper. We got way larger portions, at least, for kind of the same price.
While you were in Copenhagen?
Mm.
Hmm. Cool. It's expensive to eat out here.
Well, it depends on how you compare your living wages against the brutto national product divided by the... right, yeah. Well, because we frequently have these newspaper articles that say that, well, actually, Norwegian food is not that expensive. We just don't spend a lot of money on food, but it's not expensive compared to... Yeah.
Because eating out or just buying food for your house?
yeah, I don't know. Perhaps.
Because to me, they're very different. Like, it's...
Yeah.
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 Follow-up. Controversially dealing with this at the end of the episode. Unless you want to talk about Copenhagen some more.
I think we have exhausted the topic for now.
For now. I think we can come back to it in the future. I think there's always more Copenhagen. I did my homework.
You did your homework. I even did your homework last
night. You did my homework?
Yeah, I have to watch it again.
So I watched the first episode of Lillehammer. Sorry, I keep wanting to pronounce that properly. Lillehammer is how the program is called. Which is about a guy who's a mob informant who asked to be relocated in Norway because he saw it on the Winter Olympics and he thought it was beautiful. Which is, you know, like a good premise, right?
It's a really plausible premise, right?
Oh, it's no weirder than... Did you ever... it keeps making me think about Northern Exposure. Did you ever watch that?
No.
Okay, that's your homework for next time. Northern Exposure is about a Jewish doctor from New York who's just graduated medical school, and because the state of Alaska paid for his medical degree, he has to go and be a doctor there, and he thinks he's going to Anchorage or somewhere, or Juneau or somewhere that's going to be kind of at least a town, and he ends up in the middle of nowhere, and it's kind of fish out of water kind of thing. So it's, you know, someone from the big city in a very different culture moves to a small town where it snows a lot, sort of premise. So like it's kind of comparable with Lillehammer, except in one he's a kind of nebbish Jewish doctor and the other one he's a former mob informant. So that's the premise. It's very difficult to talk about this now without seeing Ellis Pratt's comment, and I've only seen one episode, so I need to watch more clearly. But when we were talking about this on Twitter, Ellis said the thing that I didn't like about Lillehammer is that he changes, the protagonist changes the new environment that he's in, but it doesn't change him. And I can kind of see that that might be where it's going. And that seems like it's breaking a fundamental premise. Like in Northern Exposure, the whole point is that you see character development in the protagonist. And he does change. And he does get to like some of the things about being where he is, and it does change him. And you can kind of look at the first episode of Lillehammer and go, yeah, here's this guy who's just kind of ploughed into this sort of small to mid-sized town in Norway, and he hasn't really adapted yet in any way. He's just brought his own shtick with him, and he's just kind of doing that to other people. So... And the other thing was, I got to the end of the episode and I'm like, I don't know if I actually like anyone in this. Which is like, for me, kind of a requirement. I need to like at least one character in a thing. And I'm trying to think, like, coming from the kind of immigrant into the country aspect, I'm trying to think what they deal with. So they have the, everybody's wearing Marius Genser. The kind of traditional Norwegian sweater. He opens, the first thing he does is he opens his fridge and like there's a grandiosa pizza in there.
And he throws it in the garbage.
He throws it in the garbage, which is like, oh.
Statement.
Total statement. What else happens? There's drinking. He ends up on a pair of snowshoes. In the forest in the middle of the night.
Spoiler warning.
Spoiler warning. Well, I'm not saying why. Actually, I did notice about that scene is like it's almost the only scene in film or TV I've ever seen where it actually looks like it really was shot at night and there isn't an implausible amount of illumination. It's actually dark. Because you know most of the time when movies shoot that kind of thing, it's like there's way too much natural light. It's like, oh, really? The moon is shining that bright? The moon is 2,000 watts? Really?
I now understand why you couldn't watch Doctor Who. If that is your gripe.
No. I understand suspension of disbelief. I'm good at suspending disbelief, but I need a hook. I need a premise. And I need the writing not to be diabolically bad.
Are you good at suspending disbelief, Mrs. I can't bear to watch people chew gum, lady?
I don't know, a big part of my interior life is imagining the things that rabbits do in their free time. So I'm complicated.
Indeed. I will not comment on what you just said, but okay.
Not that kind of activity. More like if it's really early and I'm on a train somewhere and there are normally rabbits to be seen and they're not there. In my head, I'm like, oh, well, they're probably still in their burrows eating their toast and marmalade, you know.
As rabbits do. So, yeah. And it's interesting with Lillehammer, as you say, there are actually no characters to be liked. You're completely correct on that.
Did you notice that before I mentioned it?
Yeah, and also, because, yeah, this is your sort of regular fish out of water setting or premise. But Johnny or Giovanni Henriksen, he has written himself as very much of a protagonist, right?
Mm.
And, well, he's not the only who has written the script. It's also two other Norwegians.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of Norwegian in it.
Yeah. And how I watch this show is how Norwegians... we should have sort of an academic alarm thing. Because I will say the N-word, they negotiates sort of the cultural stereotypes. And, well, they threw the grandiosa in the garbage.
And that's your thumbnail.
Yeah, and and they, well, someone had to go. And the someone who had to go, that's pretty controversial in a Norwegian context and so on. And they... So it's interesting from how an insider sort of to tackle the impression that they think outsiders have, sort of, something like that.
What do you think this is tackling? What presuppositions do you think this is tackling?
That being said, because I don't think that... I think that the intentions of this show is to be funny. In this, haha, look at us, we are with the weird Norwegians, right? Kind of way. Not perhaps that... reflected, but it still says something about the Norwegian society somewhat. So yeah, but I'm not sure if it's more interesting for a native Norwegian than for a foreigner. But it got somewhat popular on Netflix. So yeah.
Mm. I mean, you said before that Norwegians really like to see themselves reflected in stuff coming from other parts of the world. I could see that it would be quite interesting. I don't know whether people feel that it's in any way a fair reflection. So far, it's a little bit like literally everyone was wearing kind of Marius Gensura or things like that. And
it is Lillehammer, though.
Oh, okay. So that's fair. Okay.
But yeah, well... it's not Norwegian stereotypes turned to 11, more to 9, I guess. But I would prompt you to continue watching it. Perhaps just the first season. But
I should try some more. Since you went to the trouble of getting it for me, I should watch it.
Because the bar owner at the end of the episode, he turns out to be a really interesting character.
Okay.
Perhaps the only likable.
Okay.
And this must be said. This is weird because the main character, it is implied that he understands Norwegian.
Yes, heavily implied.
And he even dropped some phrases here and there, but he keeps talking English.
Yeah.
And I think Stefan Sant, even as the real person, also that he also understands the Norwegian, which is very impressive that an American dared to learn our language just for the TV. No, okay, so yeah, but did you notice the dynamic from the Norwegians switching between English and Norwegian?
I was very aware of when Norwegian was happening and when English was happening.
But did that come off realistic? Or?
I thought he knew far too much Norwegian straight away. Like, yeah, he could understand far too much of it. I thought the switching was plausible from the native Norwegians, because I see that quite a lot. I thought that was entirely reasonable. What it made me wonder, though, right, the copy that I was watching did not have any subtitling. So when there's Norwegian happening, it was just Norwegian, which is fine. But it made me wonder how it went out, because it would have been quite daring television, I feel, if it had aired, for example, in the US without the Norwegian being subtitled.
Well, it was on Netflix, so I guess there were
It went out
subtitles.
Without titles, but did you watch it in Netflix here? Or?
No, it was on NRK.
Mm. But here I wouldn't expect them to title the Norwegian, but it made me wonder, like, when it aired in the States, for example, or in the UK, did they subtitle the Norwegian?
Yeah.
And I can only imagine the answer to that being yes, because otherwise it's just, it's asking the viewer to do a lot of work. It's actually followable. Yeah. Like, you can totally follow what's happening without having the Norwegian subtitle. It would just have been very unusual. That was what I wondered.
So, yeah, but it actually, it isn't a great TV show, but it's interesting for our podcast, I guess.
It is. And thank you. It's interesting to see the kind of the immigrant experience portrayed in whatever way.
And apropos the sweaters, we have this gossip magazine in Norway called Se and Hør. Se og Hør. See and Hear. And they have this concept of, we have foreign celebrities that are termed Norgesvenner, friends of Norway, because they constantly coming back to have concert or concerts or whatever. And this gossip magazine, they have this photo up where they give the celebrity the Marius Genser, the sweater, and take a picture of them in the sweater, just to state the fact that they are friends of Norway.
On a small rant about a tangentially related issue.
Yeah, the plug thing.
Yeah, come on, the follow up. Talk about plugs.
Was this Alice Pratt as well?
No, this came from Ben Blondell. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ben. We got some flack on our damning of the British plug.
This seems to have exercised you slightly. There's like all caps sentences in the notes.
Can you give me the Ben or the Tom Scott synopsis? Tom Scott, by the way?
Tom Scott's a guy on the internet. I'll talk more about Tom Scott in a moment. Yeah. He's a nerd, a British nerd. He's very smart. He communicates quite well about technology. But he has a video online, among other things, which talks about how cool British UK plug electrical plug design is.
And he calls it the best design ever.
Yeah.
He almost goes platonic on the greatness of the design of the British plug-in. This is absolutely madness.
Tell me why.
Even bashes the European plug. I don't know about British kids, but Tom Scott's main argument is that it is impossible to put something in the British sockets which isn't a British plug.
And thus avoid death by electrocution.
And this made me wonder about your kids in the UK.
We're very curious. We have a long history of inventing things, and part of that history was saying, I wonder what this does.
So in Norway, kids that put knitting pins in sockets were selected out years ago by Darwin's laws, and even if they did put the knitting pins in the sockets, we have our electricity from clean sources, so they would actually get healthier than the coal produced electricity in England. So yeah,
we need, never mind the
perfect
academic
design
alarm, we need a Darwin
my cold
alarm.
Norwegian privileged ours. And Tom Scott even says it at the end of the video that a British plug laying on it back on the floor will produce enormous pain for the poor person that will eventually step on it.
Yes, as previously discussed, it is not a thing you want to experience for yourself. Take this one on trust. See, I'm willing to give Tom Scott a pass because, among other cool things that he has done, I think I briefly mentioned Pacific Rim one of the episodes before. You've seen Pacific Rim, right?
Yeah.
It's a great movie. And one of the very cool things, well, not the very cool things, it was kind of lame, but one of the things that happened when the movie came out was that you could invent your own Jaeger. And it meant that there was a meme that allowed you to type in your own name for a Jaeger. Which are the big kind of fighting robot things. They're not really robots because they're driven by people, so I guess they're just kind of vehicles, machines. And it allowed people, in particular in the UK, to go a bit nuts with the naming convention. And British Jaegers was basically, like, this remains my favourite hashtag meme on Twitter of all time, in which people gave Jaegers, these big fighting robots, names like Tesco Metro, which is like a kind of a particular brand of supermarket. It's like a Kiwi, whatever the small version of the Kiwi supermarket is here.
There are no small versions of the Kiwi supermarket.
Okay, you're right,
but
they're
all
enormous.
You have Bunnpris.
Yeah. It would be like calling something Bunnpris, but like Bunnpris local or something like that. So you've got things like Tesco Metro, you've got Downton Fry Up, very British, Oxford Comma, very good, Little Chef, which is this kind of chain of motorway service station cafes, Iron Brew, the Scottish vote there, well, we haven't talked about Iron Brew, we should talk about it, and this, Tom Scott's contribution, which remains unbeaten, Tactical Chunder. I feel I need to explain for everyone who's not British what a Tactical Chunder is, and I'm sorry. It's very early in the morning for this. Do you know what it is?
No.
It's when you're out drinking and you realise that you've had too much, and the only way to kind of minimise the damage at that point is to make yourself sick. And it nails both British drinking culture and the naming convention given to Jaegers in Pacific Rim. It is not to be beaten, and for that I will forgive Tom Scott almost anything.
Tom Scott, if you hear this, you are hereby forgiven by small differences.
We'll send you a sweater or something, I don't know.
But that was your last chance. Even though you have travelled to Norway to explain our tax system. Who does that? Tom Scott does that. Is Tactical Chunder your word of the week?
It is not. Thank God. I don't want that to be any kind of...
Does Fylleangst come after Tactical Thunder, or does it not, because Tactical Thunder?
I think at the point where you're there, you're going to have Fylleangst. I think it's unquestionable. Well, in keeping with the kind of loosely Danish theme of the week, my word of the week is, and I'm going to butcher this, I'm sorry, Danish people, Lalkagelse. That's extremely difficult to say. Did you come across this while you were in Denmark?
This is a Danish word.
It is.
So in Norwegian, we would pronounce that log. Well, I'm watching the video. Insert jacketeer sacks. Lærkegehuset.
Oh, that's good.
Lærkegehuset.
Yeah, but you've got to have it. There's a kind of L in there as well, no?
Lærkegehuset. Yeah. Det er meget deilig I Lærkegehuset. So the difficulty with Danish is the... this is not... The glutton stops, right? No,
glottal.
Glutton stops is something else.
Glutton-free.
Glottal stops. So you never know where to put them, but they are everywhere. So, yeah. That's the problem. So as a British person, you should perhaps somewhat manage to do that, because if you... Don't you have that in London accents or something like that?
We got that.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
Yeah, long closer.
Back to your word of the week, though.
It's a bakery chain in Copenhagen, and it delights me to say the name because it's so freaking hard to a native speaker of English to say that name, especially how it's spelled. There's a link in the show notes to a video where they show the bakery and they say the name of it, and I encourage everyone to practice saying that name. It's great.
What does it mean, though?
Oh, you had to go and ask me that. I prepared and everything. I assume the Klager is cake? Oh, layer cake. Is it layer cake house? The layer cake house, maybe?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
How logical.
Well, it's Germanic.
It's almost like the house of pancakes. House of layer cakes, yeah.
But not the International House of Pancakes. The IHOP.
No, the Danish. Okay. So we both picked Danish words of the week. And my word is Thaili.
Do they pronounce it the same as Norwegian?
No. In Norwegian, it would be Thaili. 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 All right. and it means something like lovely or wonderful or, yeah. But so even though we have the word in Norwegian, the Danish people use it a lot. It's sort of this confirmatory filler word. So, yeah. And if you watch the Danish TV show Brun, I'm sorry, not Broen, but Borgen, which is the TV show about the Danish Prime Minister, which also is the boss in Westworld, the same actor.
She plays the prime. I was going to say, that's a lot of work to fill those two roles simultaneously. That's, we're talking smart drugs at this point, just to hold down those two roles.
Borgen. The Borg. So if you watch that show, and is it on Netflix? I don't know, but you will notice that they say it a lot. Daily. Which I guess lends support to my Denmark is the land of hedonism hypothesis, which isn't really that well. I guess it was obvious from the get-go,
because everything is lovely.
So yeah, cultural picks. I chose the two places I went to eat in Copenhagen because they were very good, very awesome.
Cool.
Go to Copenhagen, eat at these places.
Jarna. Not Jarna, but Jarna. how do you differentiate? Moving on. My cultural pick of the week. I was watching Ida Språkshow, which is a simultaneously kind of late night chat show slash kind of basement comedy bar slash language nerd program, which you've got to try pretty hard to thread that needle. That's quite impressive. It runs on the NRK here. And they had, we were talking earlier about Olsen Driver. They have a guy on, total sidebar, they have a guy on who became most famous for advocating that people should not drink and drive in Norway, and had a drink named after him that was non-alcoholic as a result. But they mixed this drink on air, and they're mixing out of, I guess, lime cordial and some spritzer and other bits and pieces. I forget what, maybe some apple juice and something else.
And ginger beer.
Ginger beer, thank you. And the lime cordial was in the Rose's lime cordial bottle, like very recognisable instantly. And all of the other things had been put into a kind of brown paper, like in a kind of generic bottle with a brown paper handwritten label on them. And it also looked at one point as though the host kind of moved the Rose's bottle behind, so it's actually really hard to see, and they were just showing all the kind of generic non-branded stuff. And it gave me a complete flashback to the BBC, who would go through these same gymnastics to avoid advertising any brands. It was really strange, though, that they had the Rose's brand stuff, the cordial, but everything else was kind of had been repackaged so that they could... I don't even know why. And I wanted to ask you about this, because when I grew up in the UK, the BBC would do exactly the same things. They would kind of repackage things so that they could show them on TV programmes without advertising brand. Is that what's happening here?
I guess so. And I guess a TV producer was fired for this incident, having forgotten the relabeling of the one drink. But yeah, it's the same thing, because NRK is funded by our tax money, and I guess then we will have to have some kind of... It had to stay ad-free. But... Well, every sports event is sponsored by...
Someone.
Someone, yeah. So there are exceptions, I guess, but well, we have talked about Scum, and I think the issue was raised that there were some suspicion of brand placement or something, or they didn't make the effort to hide it or something like that. So
I noticed quite a lot of branded products in Scum.
Yeah. So we don't go all American, that we sort of blur out all recognizable brands and stuff like that. But right. There's a line, and you have to walk it, I guess.
People are going to be talking about this Rose's Lime Cordial incident for years after this, I feel. It's just this is watch the clip again. There's just this bit where she reaches and she moves it and she places it behind all the kind of own brand stuff.
She's a professional.
Oh, clearly.
Do you follow Linda easily? Because she makes an effort to speak this Voss dialect.
Is that where it's from?
Yeah.
I was trying to figure it out. I would have put her slightly further north. But okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I do. Occasionally, I have to go around twice on something she says, but I love listening to her. She has a really interesting accent.
Right.
When you asked me, do I follow her? I was like, that sounds kind of creepy. Don't be creepy. On social media? In the street?
So all the links and the stuff we have mentioned during this episode, the 13th episode, Where can people find them?
If you go to smalldifferences.fireside.fm, you will find links to everything that we can conceivably link to, and our Twitter account, Smorfelscheller, and yeah, all the stuff is there. Go, listen, share with people, please. If you like this, tell other people about it. We'd like them to listen to, if they want to.
Tell Tom Scott. How many degrees are we from Tom Scott, do you think?
Two.
Two? You know this?
Tops, yeah.
And yeah, well, we are already on the podcast, what's that called? When you sort of beg for acknowledgement and support.
Do you want a nice word or a not so nice word?
Well, let's leave it there, but if you want more people to listen to this wonderful little show where the UK and Norway meets to sort of figure things out, you can go into iTunes and you can fill in some forms and give us some stars, and that will probably perhaps help us.
Thank you. We like stars.
We like stars. 11 stars.
Can you give this 11? I think the scale might only go up to 5.
We should have a Danish sign-off. What does the Danish say?
Nothing. It's a pastry.
Har det godt? Nei. That was... Jesus Christ. Her det god. Her det god? Nei.
Farvel.
That was good. Talk. That was a proper Bergen...
Jeg jobber ved... Ja, jeg...
Jeg
har blitt nerd.
This is Stavanger again. Okay.
I need help. Clearly.
Bye then. Thanks for listening.
Farvel.